This is Good Hope Through Grace broadcast brought to you by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. I appreciate each of you that's tuned in tonight to our radio broadcast and like to ask you if you have a Bible and you can turn to the book of Romans chapter 14 as we continue our study through the book of Romans, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. If you've missed any of the previous broadcasts, we've been in this over a year. You can go to our website at ghtg.org. That's ghtg.org. That's just the initials for Good Hope Through Grace. And it'll bring you to the church's website, and all of our sermons is on the site. And if you have a computer, you can listen to them online. And if you need any information about the church, and maybe you'd like to visit us some Sunday, we'd love for you to come and see us. It'll give you directions and tell you where the church is at, give you phone numbers if you need to call someone. So that's ghtg.org. Well, tonight we're in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to try to do the whole chapter this evening. And if we have to give this a title, we're going to entitle it Dealing with Weak Christians. And that's the question, that's the statement in verse 1. It talks about him that is weak in the faith. It uses the term weak in reference to somebody that's saved, but at the same time, they're weak in the faith. The key is that they're in the faith. That means they're saved. They've been born again. They have new life in Christ Jesus. So they're in the faith, but they're weak in the faith. How do you deal with those who are weak in the faith? Well, the first thing that it says here in verse 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. That means they were to receive them into their church. Because they were weak, they were not to keep them out of the church. They were to receive them as members in their church. Now, we need to define what this text is speaking of when it's speaking of those that are weak. And verse 2 and 3 and on down in the text explains what it's talking about. It's talking about brethren that are weak, and it defines for us, it shows to us in the text what he's referring to. It says in verse 2, one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now that's vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Now that's verses 1 through 9. Now you can tell from what we read that the weak brother was one that believed that he should eat vegetables and one that believed that he should observe certain days. Now, in the text, you got to realize that it's speaking of Jewish brethren. And, of course, under the Old Covenant, there were certain dietary laws. There were certain foods that the Jew was prohibited from eating under the Old Covenant. And one of the things the not eating of certain things would do is help keep you from fellowshipping with Gentiles. And one of the things the Jews was to do was to stay separate in the Old Testament. And the reason why that was because they were the people of God. And around them, the Gentile nations were heathen nations. They were nations that never served the God of Israel, and they worshipped idols, and they were to stay separate. So they never ate the same foods that they did. There were certain foods that was considered clean and certain foods that was considered unclean. Well, in our context, the weak brethren here are men and women that have trusted Christ as their Savior, but they felt that they should continue to observe these dietary laws. And they felt they should continue to observe certain Jewish holidays, festivals, such as the Passover, perhaps, Pentecost, the Sabbath days. They would continue to observe those things. They felt they needed to continue to esteem these certain days. Now, they weren't trusting in these things to save them. They weren't trusting in these things to keep them saved. They were in the faith, as the text says, but they were weak. They felt like they still needed to keep these things in order to be pleasing unto the Lord. Now, certainly, the Gentiles, believers, the Gentiles that was in the faith, they would have seen that these things were not needed. And they, of course, never observed these things anyhow. Now, you see what the problem, you see why he's addressing this problem? Because in the church, you was going to have the Gentiles and the Jews together. In the book of Ephesians, it makes some great statements about salvation and about the Jew and the Gentile. In the book of Ephesians, I don't have to find the chapter because it just came to mind. Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 12, it talks about, well, let's go ahead and start at verse 11. You remember that, Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that ye in times past were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by them which are called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. That in time past you were without Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, the Messiah was a Jewish hope, not a Gentile hope. When Jesus come on the scene and said, God so loved the world, see, that included the Gentile. That would have blown Nicodemus' mind in John chapter 3. Many Jews thought they were saved just because they were Jews. Jesus addressed that with them in the Gospels, in telling them that you say not you're children of Abraham. They thought this all right, saved because they were children of Abraham, meaning because they were Jews. Well, they needed to trust Jesus. That's the key to salvation, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, trusting Jesus. And what happens when you trust Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2 and the verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are afar off, that's talking about the Gentiles, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. That's Jew and Gentile. To save Jew is my brother. And to save Gentiles, my brother, we're both brothers and sisters in Christ. We're one in Christ. So it's no longer where you have the Jew and the Gentile. It says here, he's made us both one. We're brothers and sisters. We're part of the same kingdom. And we can be members of the same churches. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, verse 14, for he is our peace. Talking about Jesus, He's made us both one and hath broken down that middle wall or partition between us. So we can be a part of the same churches. Now, you can see how that would have ran into a problem back in that day and time. You had these Jewish brethren and they trusted Jesus. They were in the faith, but they still felt that they needed to observe their dietary laws. And they still felt that they needed to observe their certain religious holidays and holy days, I should say. Well, and the Gentiles never observed none of these things, but yet they would be part of the same churches. Well, that seems to me to be an instant split, doesn't you? You can see how arguments could start. You can see how divisions would happen over these issues. So he's addressing that here in the book of Romans chapter 4 by saying, him that is weak, and he regarded those that felt they had to keep these things as being the ones that were weak. And he's regarding those that didn't see that they needed to keep these things as being the ones that were strong. They knew better. They had a greater understanding of the scriptures. So how are they going to rectify that? Well, what does the Lord say? Him that is weak in the faith, he said, receive ye. Receive ye. That means to receive them into their church. He's addressing the book of Romans to the church located at Rome. The church of Rome would have members in their church that were Jews. They would have members in their church that were Gentiles. But both of them now, because of faith in Jesus, were were spiritual Jews together. They were all one in Christ. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. And that division was no longer there. The book of Ephesians said that he broke down that middle wall or partition that separated us. In the temple, there was about a 3-foot wall there. And the Gentile could only come in so far. And there was a place in the temple called the court of the Gentiles. And none of the Gentiles could just come there. And there was a separation between them and the Jews. But it wouldn't be that way under the new covenant. They could be part of the same churches. And he's telling the church of Rome to receive these brethren into their church. To recognize that they were weak. And to recognize that they were observing these things still yet, not to get saved, but because they just felt that they needed to do these things to please the Lord. Now, these things weren't a requirement no more under the new covenant, so they didn't have to do these things, but he's saying to go ahead and receive them. Recognize them as brethren. Bring them in. They needed to be one, and they needed not to fight with them either, and that's the idea of but not to doubtful disputations. He said, don't bring them in and then quarrel with them over these issues. Allow them to continue to do what they were doing as far as observing their days and their laws. No sense fighting over those things. That wasn't going to hurt anything. That wasn't a question of faith or salvation. Let them do it. Let them do it. And then probably what would happen over a period of time, they would see that these things weren't a command anymore to God's people. Remember Simon Peter in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verses 9 through 21, seen a vision of all different types of animals that were dropped down from heaven. And Jesus said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." That's Acts 10, 9 through 21. And he done this 3 times with regard to Simon Peter. And Jesus said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." So what's going to happen is these things were going to be done away with. And the Gentiles and the Jews were going to be now, through faith in Christ, one. And they would be part of the same churches. So he's telling them here in the book of Romans chapter 14. He's telling them to receive them. To receive them, and don't dispute with them. They were perfectly okay in doing what they were doing. This wasn't a matter of question of salvation by grace, or this wasn't a perversion of the gospel or anything like that. They just felt they needed to continue to do these things because they were raised that way and because they felt they were pleasing God in doing this. So their purpose was right. Their motive was right. Did they have to do it? No. But the Lord said to receive them, not to judge them in these matters, not to keep them out. I'm going to tell you something, folks. People need a church after they're saved. People need a church after they're saved. That's the reason why Matthew 16:18, the Lord established the church. And that's the reason why you see whenever the missionaries, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, when they went out into these different areas and people were saved, they established churches and they placed elders in the churches. An elder was a pastor, one that would take the lead, one that was mature in the faith, one that could teach them about the things of the Lord, and they was people need churches. You need to worship the Lord in private, but you also need to worship the Lord in public. You got to have a combination of both of those. I pray that you do indeed worship in private. If you're listening to me at home on your radio, what you're doing right now doesn't replace church. You're worshiping in private. You need a local church. You need a church that you go to and an assembly that you need to be a part of. The book of Hebrews 10 says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. God's people needs a church. And they need to come where they can be trained and taught. So that's the reason why in the book of Romans chapter 14, he's telling them that they needed to receive these brethren that were weak. They needed to bring them in. And what would happen is they would learn and they would grow and and they would be close, and then they would be one with the Gentile believers there, and they would be fat. So he tells them to receive them that were weak. So you get the idea of what was going on today. Now, is that relevant to us today? Well, absolutely it is. There are some things that Christians feel that they have to practice in order to please the Lord. They're not questions of salvation, but they are things that they choose to practice. There are some good brethren and good sisters that don't have a television. They think it's wrong to have a television. And what they've chose to do is not to have one. There are some folks that think it's wrong to have a radio, and they don't have a radio. They think in serving the Lord that the radios put forth things that are wrong. Now, I'm glad you don't feel it's wrong to have a radio, because you're listening to me right now. See, these things can be used for good or bad. And sometimes people set up fences in their life. For instance, a television can be a horrible thing. It can be the means, but gives Satan the ability to reach right into your home and to corrupt your children and corrupt your mind. Well, you need to have if you have a TV, it needs to be under control. You need to determine to watch only that which is good. If it's bad, boy, I tell you what, that limits a lot of what you watch. But there's sometimes some good things. You can use it in a good way. You can use a radio in a good way. Well, I'm not going to fight with a brother that says that you shouldn't have a television or a radio or shouldn't go to a movie. I'm not going to fight over things like that. If that's what they choose to do, and they're seeking to serve the Lord and please the Lord that way, and that's the fence that they've set up for themselves so that they won't, maybe see something that is sinful, then that's fine. They can be a part of the church that I'm pastor, and I'll respect their point of view. But I expect them to respect other people's point of view that feel that it's not wrong to do these things. It's only wrong in the case that it's used in a wrong way. But you can, like, for instance, I use the illustration of the radio. A radio can be used for good. It can be used to broadcast the gospel. It can be used to broadcast the teaching of God's word. So those are just some crude examples I've grabbed out. The Bible don't say thou shalt wear a tie in the pulpit. Now, if you come and listen to me preach, I'm wearing a tie. I wear a suit normally. But sometimes I'll go to a place and someone might have a dress shirt on or just a regular shirt on. I don't fight over a tie or a sport coat. And these are things that churches divide up over and hate people over and quarrel with people over. And they're just not worth fighting over. I think you need to be covered as far as your apparel is concerned. It should be in such a fashion as professes godliness. Shouldn't be too short or shouldn't be too tight and all these different things. But if you're not careful, you get so legalistic that you drive away unbelievers that may come in to hear the message. And you also can be so divided up amongst yourselves that you're majoring on manners and fighting over all of these things. Well, this can apply to a lot of different things. But you need to be sure that the thing that you do in your life, the thing that you allow, for instance, just go back to the illustrations of television. You need to make sure that that's not used in your life in a sinful way. If you do go to a movie, it needs to be something that's clean and respectful. If you do listen to different Christian music, so our music is even different today. There's some music that is different than the music that I grew up with. Some of it I think is disrespectful. Some of it I like. But we divide up over all these different issues, and they're minors. They're not majors. And many people that are weak, we drive away. And many times we fight, and that in front of unbelievers, and these are sad things. So it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. And these gray areas, and these issues that are secondary issues, there is room for compromise there. I'm not asking you to compromise the gospel, compromise the truths of the word of God. But in some of these gray areas, such as the illustration here in Romans 14, We can't major on those. And there are some churches that major in minors, and they run everybody off, and all they do is fight. And they don't preach the gospel, and they don't teach the scriptures as they should. And they're hateful and they're despisable. And imagine that. People don't want to go to them or be a part of them. Well, that's what Paul's dealing with here in Romans 14. These that are weak, these that feel that need to observe these days, these that feel that they need to abstain from certain, observe the dietary laws, he says receive them, but not to quarrel with them. See, that's what he tells them. So you can see how this is relevant for us today. You can take a lot of issues that is major to people today, and they would fall under these gray areas and secondary issues. I'm not talking about compromising the gospel or salvation by grace or the truths, but the gray areas. Okay? People fight over Christmas. People fight over Easter. People fight over all these things. Well, if you observe those days, observe them to the Lord. Make the Lord the chief of it. Make him the one that you exalt in these things. If you choose not to, that's great. Whatever you see, there's room for disagreement there, but not room for separation there. Receive ye them, okay? All right. Now, let's go ahead and give you some truths to remember in the text as we want to pick up the pace and fast running out of time. Here's a truth that needs to be remembered. Look down at verse 9 of Romans chapter 14. It says, for this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he would be the Lord of the dead and the living. Why dost thou judge your brother? Why dost thou set at naught your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an accounting of himself to God. So he's reminding him that we're all God's servants. Everyone that's trusted the blood, everyone that's in the faith is God's servant. And we're all going to give an accounting of our life to the Lord. And we got to remember he's the ultimate judge. Now, there's some judgments we have to make. There's such a thing as church discipline. 1 Corinthians 5 deals with that. There's such a thing as false gospels, and we need to point out a false gospel. But again, you got to realize these are secondary issues. What you eat or what day you observe, these are not majors. These are minors. So there's room for disagreement there. And we're not to judge with regard to that. God is the judge. God is the one that we must give a reckoning of our life to. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to the Lord. Everyone will give an accounting of himself to God. You're God's servant. And you became God's servant the day that you trusted Jesus. I wish people would realize that. I see there's a lot of folks that claim to be the Lord's servant that don't serve the Lord. They don't have no desire to serve him. They don't worship publicly. They don't witness. They still live in such a fashion that you can't tell them from the world. That's a total different issue, is it not? You got to remember, you have to give a reckoning of yourself to God. One day you will stand before Jesus as his servant at the judgment bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and you will give a reckoning for your life. That won't be to determine your salvation. That will be to determine your reward. Two different times, there's a great white throne of judgment in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And the lost will stand before there, and the books will be open, and the Lamb's book will be there, and those not written in the book. The Lamb's book will be cast into the lake of fire. We won't be at that judgment, but we will stand before our Lord, and there will be a reckoning given of the life that we live for him since we've been saved. Our service will be accountable to him. So he's pointing this out. Receive these weak brethren. We're all God's servants. And each one will give a reckoning of their life to the Lord. Now, he gives one more thing in the text today. I'm almost out of time that I want to give you. He mentions that in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. He tells us not to be a stumbling block to our brother. It says in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is made weak. Now, we're not to do that which would be a stumbling block to others. For instance, that Jewish brother that might be in your church that, for instance, maybe not refuses to eat pork, you'd have him over to eat, you wouldn't serve pork. You wouldn't flaunt your freedom by seeking to make him eat pork when he thinks it's wrong. He's my brother. I love him. He's still observing that law. He's doing it because he's seeking to please the Lord that way. He's not doing it to get saved. He comes to my house, I'll serve him something else. You see what I mean? It would be a stumbling block for you to do that because he's your brother. You see, that's the idea. We're not to be a stumbling block to others. The reason why I don't use alcohol, the reason why I don't use tobacco, is I don't want young people to see me use it and then them begin to use it because of me and perhaps end up being an alcoholic or end up getting cancer from the tobacco. That's why I don't use it. I think it's a stumbling block issue. That's the reason why I don't. So there is issues that are stumbling block issues that could cause other people to fall. You may be able to drink a little bit of wine with your dinner, but someone may see you buying that at the store, or someone may because you use it, they might get involved using it, and then they not be able to handle it. See the point? You don't want to do anything that's a stumbling block in these secondary issues. I don't use it, and I don't use it for those reasons. I think it's a stumbling block issue for God's people today. Over 1 million alcoholics in our land. That's why I don't use it, you see. So we're not to be a stumbling block in these areas. We just don't do it because it might be a stumbling block to other people. So that's what the text deals with, dealing with weak Christians. Receive them and respect them and don't dispute with them. And if need be, sometimes you don't do things just because you know it might offend them. If I go to a church that believes you should wear a sport coat and a tie, I'll wear a sport coat and a tie. I'm not going to fight over such things. If I go to a church that says that feels the preacher shouldn't wear a tie, I won't wear a tie. You see, there's plenty of room for disagreement in these areas, but these are minors, gray areas. The problem is churches fight over the minors. They forget the majors, and that's spreading the gospel, teaching the scriptures, spreading the message of grace. And they spend all their time fighting amongst themselves and not battling against the kingdom of the devil in this world. May God add his blessings to his words. Thank you for listening.